Joining me in the JPR studios, the band Little Comets.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome. Rob Coles, Michael Coles, Matt Hall, did you guys meet in college or as children? How did you guys get to know one another?
Me and Mick, you've been playing together since we were 12 and 13, and we're brothers. And then Matt used to pop his head into the room where we used to rehearse all the time a few years ago. So we've been playing with Matt for 6-7 years now. Matt's originally a guitarist, so we kind of had to bring him over to the dark side of playing bass, but I think he's grown to like it.
Yeah.
You guys are from where exactly? It's a little confusing to try to figure it out because of the way that towns and boroughs are named in your neck of the woods, but Jero in Washington, Tyne and where?
Yeah, the Tyne and Wear is kind of like the, I suppose you might say the county.
Okay.
Jero in Washington, they're like just little towns that are within Tyne and Wear, and the biggest city is Newcastle.
Okay, so this is Northeast England?
Yeah, Northeast England, yeah.
And that makes you a Geordie band? What does that mean exactly?
Yeah, I think that if you're born within the region of the River Tyne, then you're kind of a Geordie. But I think me and Mickey, technically, we were born in a place called South Shields, so we're sand dancers.
So, really?
Yeah, there's loads of funny little names for people from different places.
Did you guys all study music at university or?
No.
Not at all?
Mickey did physics and maths.
Really?
I did like a subject called land economy, which is law and economics in relation to the built environment. But Matt is actually...
I did do a bit of music.
Wow. So music was kind of a hobby until it became a profession, right?
Yeah, I think at junior university, I kind of started going for like internships, and I just realized that I didn't want to do that. And the only thing that made us happy was when I was like playing music or writing music. So I kind of had this agreement with my mum and dad that I'd get a degree and then we'd kind of go and try music for a bit.
Well, you guys have had kind of an interesting storyline to get from around 2009 to here today in the States. So we'll get to that. But before, let's hear some music. What are you going to start with today?
And we'll play a song called Jennifer.
It's a shame that I don't love you better. Fateful words emblazoned on your sweater. Made to move in from a distance. Every line to outline your resistance. Jennifer, why'd you have to be so taciturn? Jennifer, why'd you have to be so taciturn? Fortunately, he tries to placate her, tying notes to broken kitchenalia. The way the ink blots on the sink stops him from carving thoughts into the work tops. Jennifer, why'd you have to be so taciturn? Jennifer, why'd you have to be so taciturn? Why'd you have to be so taciturn, Jennifer? No, Jennifer. Why'd you have to be so taciturn, Jennifer? Why'd you have to be so taciturn, Jennifer?
It's Little Comets live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. That one is called Jennifer from the new album Life is Elsewhere. Well, I mentioned new album. There is a previous album that has a bit of a story wrapped around it, an album that was, I guess, recorded back in around 2009. You guys signed a deal early on with Columbia Records and recorded an album. And then what happened?
I suppose it's a bit of a blur, but I think basically they decided that they no longer wanted to release it. Somebody at Radio 1 apparently had a conversation with the head of Columbia and said that the radio wasn't going to play guitar bands in 2010. So,
that's how radio works.
This is how our country works.
And Radio 1 is like the big BBC music station, right?
Basically it.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, there's a fantastic radio station called Six Music, which is part of BBC, and a brilliant station called XFM, which are far more flexible. But Radio 1 is the biggest like radio station in the country for kind of popular music.
Well, that's kind of a ridiculously blanket statement to say we're not playing any guitar bands.
I know, and you would hope that the bloke of the label would say, ah, but you know, you haven't heard this guitar band. But I think they decided that they weren't going to back it up. And I think the recordings as well were a bit different from what they were expecting. I mean, I think major labels are fantastic for some bands, but for us, it just wasn't a model that was ever going to work. And I think naively, we should have probably... Well, I think we were a bit naive. I think we should have realized that because we just like to do everything ourselves.
And you were getting some airplay, right? One of your singles was actually starting to get charted.
Yeah, we heard later that apparently Radio 1 had said to Columbia, oh, we want to playlist this track. And Columbia had said, oh no, we think that you should wait. So,
yeah. And then eventually you parted ways, right? Like that album was never released by Columbia Records.
No, no.
And then there was some limbo, I guess, while you were trying to get control of it back.
Yeah, it took a little while to kind of tie up a lot of loose ends.
They were quite good in terms of giving it back to her,
eventually they were, yeah. I'd say they were in that regard. But it was just a shame that the process took so long. We were quite adamant straight off that we would either like to produce it or like have a say in... Because I think a producer does a different job depending on what the band requires. And we kind of had an idea of what we wanted a producer to do, but they just seemed to throw like names at it. Hmm. This person's worked on XYZ, so therefore they'll do a good job on your music. And it there wasn't any logic really behind that process. And it took a while to kind of get to the end of their tether, by which point they were just like, right, just go and record it yourselves.
Hmm. And so eventually you guys released that album on a independent label in the UK.
Yep.
Has that one ever been released officially in the States, or do you just have to hunt for it?
I think you have to hunt for it. I think it was nobody ever licensed it.
Okay.
So I think our label back home just did a very soft release so that they made it available digitally over here.
And that's called In Search of Elusive Little Comets,
right? That's right, yeah.
Well, let's fast forward to the new album, Life is Elsewhere. How long ago did this get recorded?
We recorded it last summer. A couple of tracks were recorded a bit earlier for a couple of EPs that we'd done, but the vast majority was done, I'd say, between May and August last year.
And why is it that the UK always gets music before we do?
We didn't have a label over here at that point. It was quite random how Jewel Tone discovered our music. I think that's what's lovely about it, that they didn't hear it on the radio and think, oh, you know, we need to play this band because they're popular in the UK. I think one of the guys there was on a website because they had a band playing at that venue. And we were also on the website listed as playing, and we were the only band he hadn't heard of. Hmm. And he clicked on the music and decided he liked it and showed it to other people at the label. And so it gives us a lot of confidence that they're releasing the music because they genuinely like it.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to run a label, I don't know why you'd run a label and release things that you think that you should rather than things that you just have a passion for.
I think that's how money works.
Mm, right. It's a shame.
Was your first trip to the United States when you were invited to South by Southwest?
Yeah, that was it. It was the first time.
So your first experience with the United States was Texas.
But Austin in Texas, because it wasn't what our expectations of Texas were. It was just such a laid back place. Well, hectic on two streets, but the rest of it just seemed really, I don't know. I think we had a lovely time there that week.
What was the audience reception like to your music and your sound at South By?
It was pretty good. Again, we didn't have any expectations. A few people seemed to know the songs, which we found truly bizarre.
Was it the British Embassy was the venue. I think the British Council had paid for a venue. So we played our gigs in that particular venue.
Oh, that's interesting.
Had a really good PA and good sound, so I think that made it a lot easier.
When we'd seen other bands at the same venue, there seemed to be a lot of footfall through the venue during the week, so I think a lot of people came to the venue to discover something that they hadn't seen before, as opposed to coming to see a specific band there, and I think that helped.
Little Comets are my guest, live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of JPR. Streaming online, ijpr.org. We will have photos from today's live session and the audio posted to both our Facebook page and our homepage after the session. The new album is called Life Is Elsewhere. Can we hear another tune?
Yeah.
What are you going to play next?
Play a song called Worry, I think.
Tuesday morning, I feel humanity slip from broken hands down to our hips. Realizing that the cheer both arising, and as the sun emancipates, the dawn is handling the cackle of the power of the allegory. And for a man, stick within the Sunday bands, and the wistful way that he could hold. And the way his words could strip the world she's claiming. I worry about the way she lay. I worry, 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 worry. Oh, but the oh, no, oh. I worry about the way she lay. Oh, but the oh, no, oh. I worry, 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 worry. Oh, but the oh. He holds it down, and everything is anguish now. With the shallowness of every breath, he waits until she is bereft. I realize nothing now in both eyes, and the way his words have stripped the wall she's clapping me. I worry, 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 worry. Oh, I'm the oh, no, oh. I worry about the way she lay. Oh, I'm the oh.
It's Little Comets live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Music from the new album called Life Is Elsewhere. Rob Coles, Michael Coles, Matthew Hall, my guests in the studio. You know, one of the things, guys, that I have found really interesting about your music is I kind of hear two different bands when I listen to your songs. One of them new, one of them old. The new one I hear is Vampire Weekend, because they infuse all of these different elements, and sometimes the songs come out of left field. But at the same time, I hear shades of the way Paul Simon used to include lots of influences, more of an African bass line from time to time, and different rhythms and things. What kind of stuff did you all grow up listening to that got you to the point where you're making music that sounds like what we just heard?
I think me and Mickey's early memories of music were that my dad used to write songs in the house.
Oh, really? just as a hobby?
Just
or?
For a hobby. Didn't used to ever go and play them anywhere or properly record them. He just used to pick up his guitar and just love writing songs. So when we started playing the guitar, it was kind of a natural thing that we would try and write songs. But in amongst that, my dad loved the Beatles. Paul Simon would listen to. We grew up in Britpop era, so we had Oasis and Blur, bands like Lightning Seeds, and then the older we got into kind of people like Bob Dylan, Neil Young, Fleetwood Mac. Just we just listen to everything. I know you've got a pretty eclectic taste in music, Matt.
Yeah, I think it's weird because I don't really think that our taste in music comes out in the songs too much. Because I'm a massive fan of the Beatles. Like my first memory of music is, you know, Sgt. Pepper's, listen to it on 12-inch, turn it over. But then I got into sort of heavier stuff like Metallica and like the big Seattle scene of like the grunge type of thing, like Nirvana, Pearl Jam, and then guitarists like Hendrix and stuff. But then I wouldn't say that any of that ends up particularly in what we do. So it's a bit confusing when you kind of think of your musical tastes and then.
Yeah, I think we get a lot of accidental influences from everyday experiences in our lives or stories that we might hear, songs that we aren't really listening to but just stick in the back of your head. So I think our influences come from all over the place, really. We just love music. I think that's the thing that connects with all. We love listening and playing music.
Well, and the other thing I find interesting about your songs is you've got this beautiful three-part harmony when you sing. You've got these great guitar lines that, Mickey, you're coming up with. And yet, when you drill down into the lyrics, some of your songs are fairly heady. Like, if I understand correctly, the song that leads off the new album, A Little Opus, deals with discontent over a regional university admissions policy. That's not the kind of thing you generally find in pop songs.
No, I think our country is really misrepresented in terms of the way it's run, that certain schools and certain universities do dominate things, and then unwittingly, or maybe wittingly, the people that are then in power will end up serving these institutions, and it becomes just a spiral. And local people aren't really, I think if you looked at the MPs in our parliament, the amount of MPs that actually come from the area, you know, like where we come from, the Labour Party, it's a safe seat for the Labour Party. So what they'll tactically do is somebody that's a high flyer that's come from Oxford or Cambridge, they'll put them in to the northeast because they know that that seat will be a safe Labour seat for 40 or 50 years. So it's kind of, I think politics should be inherently local and community based, and that kind of rips the soul out of it for me when things like that happen.
So you have this dichotomy in your songs sometimes of fairly substantive lyrics set against more of a lighthearted pop sound, almost the way we were talking before we went on, almost about like the way Luca from Suzanne Vega back in the day was this song about domestic violence, but it was such a poppy song that people would be, you know, sort of nodding their head back and forth and singing along with it without really conceptualizing what the song was about. Is that an intentional thing that you're trying to do in order to, you know, get songs out there noticed?
I think with lyrics, I think the older I get, the more I'd like to say something in a song. But I think that the lyrics almost don't mesh with the music. I think it's a victim of the process, because we'll write the music first, and that's the way we've kind of always done things. And then the lyrics, I kind of go away and finish them later. We might get an idea for a lyric while we're writing a song, but the lyrics will be worked on a lot later. So I think we're quite positive as musicians, but then as a character, I think I'm a bit darker when it comes to writing about things. It's not intentional. It's just the way it happens.
Is it true that most of this album got written just the two of you in a bedroom?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm a man about studio stuff, so I've got a bit of a studio set up at home. And so we're able to record, and you can do tricks where you can basically record everything, then take it into a studio and reamp it and do stuff like that. So in the way that drum processing's gone these days, you can write a drum beat on a computer, and if you know what you want, you can get it pretty close to unplayable by a drummer.
Yeah. So you're basically just making music now the way you've done it since you were kids.
Yeah, it's just what Mickey's now a lot more. He knows his way around a computer, and that really helps. Mm. And it's nice to, I think with the first album, the production was very separate from the writing process, and the writing process was driven by the fact that we had a drummer in the room, so we couldn't really constantly be breaking things down and saying, right, change this, change that. Whereas this time around, we had so much time to write, but at the same time, the writing and production was completely merged on this album. Mm. And I think that really helped. We didn't feel hemmed in by anything. And working in Mickey's house, we didn't have the pressure of time. We weren't paying for a studio. I think that you might say it hindered the process.
I think they kind of, if you have too much time, then you don't know when to stop. I think that a lot of great music was made under like technological restraints, and that meant that you had to be creative, and that created sounds. Right. We were just talking the other day about some of the Hendrix stuff. And
within the window of like 4-hour studio block that you were paying for,
not necessarily at the time. I think
just the limitations of technology.
I think the big bands had as much time as they wanted because they had so much money. But the technology meant that you couldn't put down 48 tracks because there wasn't 48 tracks. There was only like 10 tracks. So you'd have to bounce stuff, and then you'd have to commit to a sound. You couldn't then, these days you can go back and tweak to the art content. I think that can be quite dangerous.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned that song Luca from Suzanne Vega. You guys have touched on domestic violence in your songs on more than one occasion. Most recently, Violence Out Tonight, which is on the new album. And there's kind of an interesting story that I was reading about how Radio in the UK, chose not to play that song.
That's the feedback that we got, that that it wasn't lyrically appropriate. The lyrical content wasn't appropriate for daytime radio.
Because it takes to task those that have assaulted women? That doesn't make sense.
I think to me, if you're going to make a statement like that, then you need to be pretty sure that stuff that you already play doesn't kind of flout that rule. And not only does it flout that rule, but it actually goes to the other extreme. And there's many artists that get played on the radio in our country that there's a lot of misogynist lyrics.
Here too.
And it's just, I think if you are going to make a statement like that, it's not lyrically appropriate, then you need to be pretty sure that you can back that up with the output of your station. So I don't know. Maybe they just didn't like the song and they thought that that was a better way of breaking it to it. I don't know. Yeah. But it doesn't really make sense.
Well, unfortunately, that song's groove kind of doesn't work in the acoustic setting we have you here in the room. So we'll have to pass on that one. And I want to have you do one more before I let you go. But before I do, you guys are out headlining on this tour, but I've been reading about your interest and passion for doing these small impromptu guerrilla gigs all over the place. How did that get started? And where's the weirdest place that you guys have just set up shop and started playing?
Well, it was my idea. I was on YouTube and I saw there was a group of guys on the New York subway, and they just started singing. And they were like amazing, like four-part harmonies. I thought, oh, we could do something similar. And we've got a metro in Newcastle, two lines it has. So we thought, oh, we'll do it on the metro. And I said, oh, we should do that. And everybody else was like, no, we're not doing that. And I've got a tendency to weigh people down. And
does he?
after about 45 minutes, you just end up going, yeah, we'll do it.
And so we ended up doing it. And then once we started on that, my mind's like, well, what extreme can we, what else can we do? And so we thought of the idea of lecture theatres.
No way, Mickey.
Yeah. I'd seen another YouTube video of a group of like theatrical students in a lecture breaking like a musical, but each person stood up and sang a line, and then somebody else in the complete opposite side of the lecture theatre, they would stand up, and then four or five, and then there'd be like a whole chorus. And so for all, we could do that, but it might be quite difficult to stand up with an instrument. So we thought we just burst in. We just go to the bottom of the stairs and straight in on them.
So how many of these have you done?
Hundreds of lectures.
Well, and now that you're getting more demand to be on actual stages and actual venues, is that going to taper off at this point?
We
almost retired it with Mark, our old drummer. We played with Mark since we were 12 and 13. So it did feel like we'd lost, I don't know, it was a big part of the band to lose. And it was also, crucially, Mark had an awesome whistle. So it was his job to go into the lecture first, whistle to get people's attention, and then start.
It was such a loud, and unbelievably loud.
The adrenaline that used to get standing outside waiting to go in was bad for us, but for Mark to have to push the door and go in first. So I think I don't think any of us are brave enough to now lead it. And I think after a while as well, it almost becomes expected. People would be like, "Oh, so are you going to come into my lecture?" And I don't know. I think at the time it was a good thing to do, but if we kept doing it now, I think it would just be, I don't know. Also, I don't know what security is like in American universities. In England, you can pretty much, you know, do what you like.
We used to say, we'd stand outside, I'd be holding the guitar. You'd have an acoustic.
Mark would have a
snare drum. Like a little battery powered amp with all the wires going into it. And like Porter would come along and say, "Well, what are you doing here? Like, you're not going to go and play in the lecture." And we're like, "Oh, no."
We used to say, my friends in the lecture, when he comes out, we're going to play him Happy Birthday. And they'd be like, all right, good lads.
And then we'd just that's all it took?
Yeah.
It's a good story.
Yeah. There was one in Edinburgh that was, he wasn't angry, he was just disappointed.
He was really disappointed.
He was like, "You're not going to go in this lecture, please don't go in the lecture." And we were like, no, of course we won't, no. That's fine, no, we're not going to do that. And his face when we came out, it was like we'd kind of shot him.
Did he like your?
We felt really bad about it.
He didn't see the music. He just seen that we'd done what we said we weren't going to do, and he just looked really disappointed.
Can you pass him a record or something and cheer him up?
I'm not sure
that would cheer him up.
He might have quit his job.
Little Comets are my guests live in the JPR studios. Their new album is called Life Is Elsewhere on Dual Tone Records. Robert Coles, Michael Coles, Matthew Hall. What are you going to wrap up with today?
I think we'll play a song called Woman, Woman.
A woman, a woman, please believe me. I'm standing on a cliff edge, can you see me? I've had my share of second chances, open doors and wide romances, and now it better be right, yeah. My shadow will leave me, an echo will fall, a definite sadness will light every wall. But Agatha leads me to both of my knees. I finish with silence and I've stopped saying please, please, please. 'Cause a woman, please believe me. I'm standing on a cliff edge, can you see me? I've had my share of second chances, open doors and wide romances. Now we better be right, yeah. Better be right, yeah. Set down your choking arms and pour ablutions through the gaps in the floor. Fed up with your scant regard, finding nothing but a crack in the jaw. Caught all regrets and still your punish involvement. Seminal fall, but now you're caught up with your bid contrite, but still as absolute as ever at all. Because a woman, she turns discreetly. The parting of our words will burn him briefly. She says, "You've had your share of second chances, open doors and wide romances, and it'll never be right, yeah. And it'll never be right, yeah. And it'll never be right, yeah. And it'll never be right, yeah."
That's Little Comets live on open air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. Online, ijpr.org. Again, we'll have photos up from today's live session and the audio to our website, and you can find photos on our Facebook page as well. Rob Coles, Mickey Coles, Matt Hall, congratulations on a fantastic album. Really good luck on your tour, and thanks so much for stopping and playing for us.
Thanks very much for having me.